This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me this week is not Mike Booth Ninja Powers, but...
Dave Joan Mike, hello.
Hello!
Yes, I am here.
Yes, he's playing fill-in for a while. Mike Powers has, as many know, or some may not know, he has a couple jobs, and so it's actually... quite late when after we get done recording this and before he has to go into work, so it's kind of a one of those things. So, but he'll return in the future. So
it's real life, people.
Yes, real life is attacking him.
Podcasting. Yes, yeah. Kind of like me. I don't know if I should share the story I told you off air, but my life flashed before my eyes several times this past week. I'm a person that does not drive. The reason I do not drive is because I was born with a mild case of cerebral palsy. The only physical effects that anyone can really tell is my right hand and foot are smaller and turn in compared to my left hand and foot. But it also screws up my balance, my vision, everything else. So, because I don't drive, it's not very often that I have to put gas in a car. And I was putting gas in my mom's car this past week. I think it was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't know, one of them days. No, it wasn't Wednesday. It was Monday or Tuesday this past week, the week that this will go up. And she told me to put $30 in. She has an 11-gallon tank. She said she had a quarter of a tank still in there before we filled it up. I'm like, okay. So I go into the guy, here, put $30 worth of gas on, pump, whatever. Whatever the number was, I think it was six. Not that that matters. So I go out, and it only pumps like $21, $22. So like a dumbass, and not realizing, hey, the thing stopped, so that must mean there's enough gas in the damn car. I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to get it to $30. So I'm sitting there, standing, and continually putting the pump. I got it up to like 28 something or 26 something. And guess what? I overfilled the tank. Yay me. Go back inside. He's like, did you use it all? No. It's all right. It'll credit back to your card, whatever you didn't use. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. Go out, get in the car. It's an automatic transmission. So my mom goes to start it, and she's always really good about this stuff. It won't start, and it will not turn the key back over to release the key. And I guess this is a good preventative measure. With this car, it's a 99 Mercury Sable. I think it's 99 Sable. It's a Sable wagon anyway. we're thinking, oh crap, we need a jump. So I go back in the store, ask about six people. Everyone had someplace else to go. It couldn't spare 5 seconds to pull their car up to ours to give us a jump. Finally, I got a guy next to us that said he would pull around and give us a jump, and it wasn't even that. He's like, do you have it in park? I look down, but the car is still in drive, and we're both wondering why the car didn't move and why we're not dead from crashing into the friggin' store. So, yeah, I almost died this week.
And there you have it.
On top of that, I've been sick since, like, the middle of January, off and on with allergies, cough, cold, everything else, because of this friggin' nationwide winter weather crap. I'm the biggest advocate of winter, but not when it's, like...
People this winter has been terrible.
Yeah, well, people will... And I know this is probably not interesting podcasting, but people will look at me like I'm friggin' crazy going out in 20, 30 degree weather in a pair of shorts. I'm from Massachusetts, people. I'm used to the cold. I guess I'm a cold-blooded person. I can handle it. It's not that, and I guess the somewhat over 400 pounds on my body allows me to handle it better than most. And it's just one of those things where, like, this winter, like, this is not a winter here in Kentucky that I've experienced since I was little up in Massachusetts. Like, this is one of the coldest winters that we've ever had here in Kentucky, and it's just nuts. It really, really is. But I am here, and we're here to talk about other things.
Yes. I guess, first of all, I should note that the GCRN Awards is well underway.
Yes, yes it is.
And you can access that by going to the fan page or the website. There's a nice big old banner at the top that
says vote.
Yes.
Click it. You'll be able to go vote.
Yep. And there's 26 categories. It is up and running. I'm in process of seeing how many total voters we've had so far, not giving away what has been voted for.
How many total voters have we had so far?
That's what I'm looking for. I said I'm in the process of it, man. I'm in the process of it. Stupid WordPress. It's taking a second.
Yes.
Stall tech open, number two.
Damn it, open.
So, yeah, it's well underway. There's going to be a companion podcast for it in March, like I mentioned before in the last episode. Hopefully we accomplish the goal that we set out to,
yes.
In, you know, the whole endeavor. Although I will say that we've had a huge spike in site content since then, yes, or site traffic. So that's a good thing.
Yes. Tell your friends about GeekCastRadio.com, people. Make them go to it now.
Yes, like the fan page and check out the Twitter page. And
yep.
Also check out the website because there's tons of stuff coming. And we're only...
There's tons of stuff coming, and we have 5 years worth of content.
Yes.
Now, not all of the content in the beginning was of great production value because we were still learning. But we have over 5 years of content at GeekCastRadio.com, and I don't know if it's that I've been sick over the last few weeks, but when I voted for the different categories for the awards, I went to the bottom and cycled through all the damn pages. I didn't even realize there were links inside the picture to go to each category.
You clicked all the numbers at the bottom?
Yep.
In actuality, I should have put a next and previous button there,
yeah,
below the voting, which I could go do now, but then that's I have to do that like 28 times.
Yeah, don't do that now.
So I'll probably wait till the next time we do that.
Yeah. Usually when we launch stuff, people, it's very much a learning experience for the next time we do it.
Kind of like the top 100.
Yeah,
first one was kind of shaky. We had the hang of it, somewhat, mm-hmm. But
second one kind of went off without a hitch.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much to improve on the process.
Yeah.
So it looks like we've had a total of 70 voters.
Cool.
In the last week, which perfect. Is awesome.
Yeah.
The lowest that something has been voted for is 37.
Huh. Don't in a row.
I knew you were gonna do that. It's you're gonna have to give reference to that so that people aren't going, "Eh."
Watch Clerks, people.
See, there's your reference. But yeah, so I think it either the reason why it varies from that number all the way up to 70 is the fact that either people haven't watched whatever it pertains to,
mm-hmm.
So they didn't feel comfortable rating it. Some people went through regardless and rated everything. Some people knew what some of the things were, but rated things. So just however you prefer to do it should be interesting anyway. I'm looking forward to revealing that on the podcast live to the co-hosts, but
yes.
So there'll be reactions just like in the wars or the top 100.
I
enjoy the random comments that come out after the polls have been revealed.
Yes.
So I think with that we will move into some of the media content of the show. So take it away with the first one there, Mike.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. No, this is actually a good thing.
I figured you would be happy about that.
Yeah, no. This is actually a very, very, very good thing. So, if you're someone who has come to GeekCastRadio.com fairly frequently since, I would say, the beginning of last year, 2013, every so often you'll see reviews for soundtracks, CD soundtrack scores from me from La La Land Records. La La Land Records is the company that I first noticed them when they released the Volume 1 of Batman the Animated Series 2 CD set soundtrack for all the music from Batman the Animated Series. So they're basically a soundtrack score company. They do television scores, sometimes they do movie scores, they do cartoon scores. Very, very awesome company. Most recently, and finally, I've been waiting for this since the BTIS albums came out, they have finally released a 4-disc set for Superman the Animated Series. 20 complete scores from the cartoon series. Over 4 discs. It's very, very awesome. I believe 8 of the tracks on there are from World's Finest, the 3-part crossover event with Batman. So awesome. But this Saturday, actually tomorrow, after you people hear this, hopefully if you're listening to this on the Friday that goes up, they are having a CD signing in Burbank, California, for both the Superman the Animated Series and Batman the Brave and the Bold soundtracks. They released the Batman Brave and the Bold as a 2-disc special edition soundtrack. I've listened to both of them, and as people might know, that I'm not the biggest fan of Batman Brave and the Bold. I get it, it's for the Silver Age fan. I remember when I first watched it, I'm like, Batman in space? And yes, I know I've seen Justice League, Batman was in space, but this was Brave and the Bold is a totally different animation style than DCAU or anything else that I had seen before, and it's just wasn't really my style. Plus, you got Oswald from Drew Carey as Batman. Now, don't get me wrong, Diedrich Bader is an amazing actor. I just don't think his voice fits well for any type of Batman, but that's just my personal preference. Anyway, they released these two things, and this Saturday, February 8th, they are going to have a CD signing in Burbank, California. It is... you can meet the composers of these extraordinary scores to the beloved WB DC Comics animated series Saturday, February 8th, 2014 at 12 noon at Creature Features, 2904 West Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank, California. Come meet acclaimed composers Christopher Carter, Michael McQuistion, and Lolita, I believe it's Lolita Ritmanis, as we celebrate their new limited edition soundtrack releases from La La Land Records, Superman the Animated Series 40 CD set and Batman the Brave and the Bold 2 CD set. Composers will sign additional items, but one of those items must be a Superman set or a Batman Brave and the Bold set. If you don't live in Burbank, California, but still want to purchase signed copies, Creature Features ships worldwide, and you can order them online now at creaturefeatures.com. I'm telling you, folks, as much as I'm not a fan of Batman the Brave and the Bold, I went back and watched the episodes that the music from this release came from, and it is so good. And Superman the Animated Series, like I said, I've been waiting for that and waiting for that. It's so good. Just absolutely awesome.
Well, and the thing is all those DCAU and non-DCAU, just pretty much anything DC content related, the music is almost always great.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And next week on GeekCastRadio.com, we're going to have, after the autograph event that happens on Saturday, We're going to have all three composers in an interview. Yes, that's right. GeekCastRadio.com. The first time ever we've had three people interviewed at the same time. So that's going to be really fun for Steve and I to talk to them about themselves, their careers, how they wanted to get into music, and how they came about composing stuff for DC and what other stuff they've done. So that's going to be really, really fun.
I have a really, like, odd joke, but it's calling back to the Star Trek reboot where Scotty says, "I've never beamed to, you know, to about the transporter thing."
Oh yeah.
Three composers, two hosts, one podcast.
That's there you go. That'll work. What's up next there, Steve?
I don't know if you looked at this or not, but there's this plastic, like, polymer that self-heals.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this, yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting. If that's the case, they could come up with stuff, because it self-heals, theoretically, at room temperature. Mm-hmm. If it was actually able to do that, you could repair, like, your phone or pretty much anything that's made with that kind of material.
Yeah.
I mean, just that alone could save money on all kinds of things that crack or break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very, very cool.
I'm kind of waiting to see what they plan on doing with it, if they ever do anything with it. Because, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of these scientific things that kind of come out, you either hear about it when it's being developed or you never hear from it again.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the cases, what happens, either that or they throw it in some secret government facility and say, no one can see this ever.
Yeah. That's kind of like a news story that came out a while ago about a real working laser, and then like a month later, Mike the Birdman Dodd had a review copy of it. Yeah, that's crazy. No, but that is really cool. I think that, you know, it would save a lot of money on it, depending on if it gets developed and how much it'll cost. It'll depending on how much, you know, they'll market it for. It might save a lot of money in having to fix cell phones or computers or ever needing an Apple Care product.
Oh, I yeah.
Mean, an Apple Care plan. That's very cool.
Alrighty. So, I don't really want to talk about this, but I probably should, based it that it's on the movie that I'm interested in. They have info, quote unquote, on why Jesse Eisenberg was cast as a young Lex Luthor. And again, they're trying to pull like the Smallville, which I kind of get, but I don't really care either. I'm curious to see how they play out. But I don't have much enthusiasm for him. Although in some poses and some looks that he does, I can see like a young Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
But there's also been a newer article that has come out. As of like 10 hours ago that I didn't put in the script. That.
Jerk.
My bad. I just found it though. It says that. And this is probably speculative anyway, but it's probably true. I wouldn't put it past them. They've done all kinds of other weird stuff. So they're saying that Luthor will be bald, but shaved bald, not follically challenged. They're going to say that he's going to have tattoos. And kind of make him kind of like a, you know, Tony Stark kind of thing at 18. And they're going to make him, like, street tough. Like, it's just like, why are they changing things? Like, I don't know if it's true, though. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to get on that soapbox because everybody's been like, oh, have you seen this? Or oh, Ben Affleck doesn't care about Batman. He smokes. You know, I mean, just stupid crap like that. It's the fanboys like attacking it. So I'm trying to keep an open mind and see how some of this plays out because we haven't seen anything.
I'm so sick of this movie.
Well,
We haven't seen it. We haven't seen zero about. We haven't seen the suit. We've heard that Ben's wife, while I do like her as an actress, we've heard that Jennifer Gardner has said, "Oh, the suit is amazing. The suit is this. The suit is that."
They've had
We haven't
Matt
seen the
Damon
suit.
saying it too now, and it's
Well, Matt Damon's going to be the new Robin, so
right.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay,
Nightwing.
I don't know if a Boston Nightwing would actually work in the world. But anyway, here's the thing. Originally, because as of this recording, Steve and I haven't recorded Geekcast Radio episode 58. Episode 58 of Geekcast Radio, I was going to say 2015, the year that Hollywood exploded. But now we can't even do that topic because everything's being moved around and juggled because they don't want to fill up 2015. But here's the thing. Batman, Superman, I'm sick of it already. I just want to see the movie. I don't give a crap about any of this news because it's one of those things where show us a teaser, show us a trailer, show us something that they've actually filmed with Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill. As far as the Lex Luthor news, here's the thing. If they're going to rip off Smallville, which is fine and well and good, why not do it the same way Smallville did it, where they had a little kid who had hair. And in the meteor shower, he lost his hair. The adult version could be Michael friggin' Rosenbaum, just like in Small. Michael Rosenbaum, say what anyone can say what they want to say about Smallville. That's fine. That's their opinion. I'm sorry. Michael Rosenbaum was one of the best Lex Luthors that we've ever
He
had.
was the best live action Lex Luthor, and Clancy Brown is the best voice actor.
Well, that's. I'm specifically talking live
Well,
action.
I know, but
Like,
I'm saying, like, he is the best one.
since Gene Hackman, we had John Shea and Lois and Clark. I know there's been numerous others, but the main ones are Gene Hackman, John Shea, and Michael Rosenbaum. And Michael Rosenbaum has been the best one. If you're going to play up this Lex Clark relationship, I would love to see them do it in a way where all of the Lex Clark friendship stuff happened before the first movie, so have it done in flashbacks. Here's the thing about Batman Superman, whatever the hell they're gonna call it. I don't even want Batman Superman now. I need a sequel to Man of Steel that has to deal with Superman first, before you bring in Batman, before you bring in Wonder Woman, before you bring in Brainy, before you bring in the Justice League already. Jesus. Oh God, it's just pissing me off so much. All this news about this stupid movie, and now at this point, it's again two. Okay, last year with all the news, it was 2 years away because it was going to be in 2015. Now they're pushing it back to 2016. So again, it's 2 years away, and there's still all this frigging news for a movie that isn't coming out for 2 years. I'm so sick of it. I may
Well,
not even watch the damn movie until it hits Netflix and Redbox at this point.
I'm again, and see, and that's where fan rage gets into it. But more so what I'm concerned about with the whole thing is it's not even that really. I mean, I'm kind of sick of it, but it kind of falls, and it's kind of it's almost Hollywood's fault.
Yeah, it really is.
Now let me finish this thought, but
Go ahead.
it's almost their fault that their movies bring so much negative attention because they broadcast everything. And it's not that I want to hate on the movies because I really am excited for them. It's the fact that Hollywood tends to more or less they open up this can of worms that they aren't actually ready for
Yeah.
and wonder why everybody's coming at them like rabid dogs.
Yeah.
It's you kind of have to take it everything with a grain of salt, and then plus you've got every media outlet, ours included, is reporting on rumors and total BS that realistically doesn't really need to be out there. Like, yeah. It's everybody's covering all this news and all this, or, you know, quote unquote news. And then you've got everybody's opinions floating around. It's just I can definitely see where people just kind of get bogged down with the news stuff. Like, it gets to be old listening to people piss and moan.
See, that's one of the reasons why I'm not doing not specifically AGU, but this is one of the reasons why I don't do news podcasts anymore, because it makes me so upset about something so insignificant that is, like I said, 2 years away. And really, all I want to do is watch the movie. And I know we're going to talk about this later, but I'm going to bring it up here now. You look at Batman, Superman, and all the hype and rumors and blah, 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 blah. Then you take a look at the Michael Bay camp, and you look at Transformers 4. I know practically zero about whatever the Age of Extinction plot is going to be, or what that film is going to be. I know there's going to be Dinobots. I know there's Mark Wahlberg instead of Shia LaBeouf, which is a much better improvement in my opinion.
The thing we can get into the Transformers aspect in the supplement segment later. But the one thing I have to say about Transformers 4 that I think they did right this time, they didn't leak anything.
That's kind of my point here.
So I think they actually gave a plot this time around, which, you know, that's just friggin' candy right there. Because the last time we got kind of hosed.
That's my only point of bringing that up now, here and now, is if you look at Batman Superman and all the media hype and all the Hollywood crap that's gone into that, and it's 2 years away. You look at Transformers 4, sure, maybe last year or even in 2012 we had a whole bunch of, you know, casting news or whatever the hell else, but, like, I've literally saw nothing of a story leak or anything like that with Transformers 4 versus everything to do with this Batman, Superman sequel, whatever the hell it's going to be. And it's just one of those things where what I meant to say when I started this out was, one of the reasons why I don't do news podcasts is because I am pretty much now, I want to wait and see. You know, I've said before, I said last time I was on the show, if I watch a trailer, I'll give my opinion on the trailer and if I want to see the movie or not, based on the trailer. You know, but lately, a lot of this stuff, I've been holding my tongue because I just want to see the stuff. I don't care about the gossip or the hype or any of that. I just want to see the media. That's what I want to see.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it's at this point, Hollywood has realistically jumped the shark.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
it has. It really has. And it's because, and, you know, it's everybody's fault too. It's social media.
Yeah.
And again, that pours into my last episode of AGU, where I talked about social media.
Yeah.
It's run rampant and everything. Like, there's no wiggle room on anything. Everything is out in the open, which, again, that's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of stuff that it spurns, is people complaining. And it's not that I want to complain. It's not that you want to complain.
No.
It's just how it is. And until they can hide stuff better, it's going to make it difficult for extreme fanboys such as ourselves to shut our pie holes.
Yeah. I just want out of any of this stuff is maybe some good cartoons. You know, the movies are all well and good. They are. But like I've been saying the last few minutes here, it's like, I just want to see the flipping thing. That's all. I just want to see it. I don't care about if Matt Damon's going to be Robin or if Jack Nicholson is going to be the Joker again, or which Can you imagine Ben Affleck versus Jack Nicholson?
That would just be scary.
Yeah.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah.
No, not.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, it'd be cool. I mean, yeah. I hope that now that this tirade's over, I hope that they eventually go back to the days where, and I know it's kind of beating a dead horse, but there's really no mystery, and it's our fault too for egging it on. But I think that they should, the Transformers 4 thing comes into my mind because I've been kind of paying attention, more so because Transformers 3 was such a travesty that I didn't care. And then this one, you've literally heard little to nothing. Which is the only reason why it's enticing, is because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And the other two, Transformers 3 was all right, and Transformers 2 was crap. But I find myself more enthused to look forward to the next one.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know if you're going to go with this, but I'm looking at the next news story. Every new car in Europe may be fitted with a police-controlled kill switch. Oh, my God. Those Europeans. Oh, boy.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
It kind of would be, yeah.
I mean, they kind of already do that with OnStar.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, where are we going to next?
Well, I think we can go maybe Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Amazon Prime has been $80 a year for as long as I can remember. And apparently it's about to get a lot more expensive. It's $80 a year. It gets you unlimited streaming video on Amazon Prime. It gets you unlimited two-day shipping. CEO Jeff Bezos, or Bezos, is said the company is considering exactly that, a raise. Amazon is looking into hiking the price as much as 50%. Let's see, the cost is $79 now. They would hike it up to $119. But you got to think about this, folks. Whether it's $79 or whether it's $80 or $120, that's $80 a year now. Gets you unlimited two-day shipping, free two-day shipping. Gets you thousands of movies and TV shows that are in Amazon Prime's library. So if you're someone that shops on Amazon a lot and gets stuff sent to them a lot, $80 a year, that's a damn good price to me. Even if it goes up to $120, that's still $120 a year. If you had something, if you had packages shipped to you all year long, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I have no qualms about this. I mean, I'm sure it sucks. It's going to go up. If it does go up, it's going to suck, but it's not going to be like, oh my God, we're taking it from $80 and making it $200 a year. But, you know, I guess you could say it's the cost of inflation. They got to raise prices sometime with the economy we live in because of certain people that are in the government. What do you think of this? I don't. Have you ever used Amazon Prime?
Long enough to get something, and then I canceled it.
Yeah.
You could technically say no, I haven't really used it, but
well, see, the thing is with Amazon, I don't know what the, I had a trial a couple of years ago, and they sent me a trial recently. They sent me another email for a new 30-day trial to try it out. So I tried it out over, I think it was October to November. Yeah, it was October to November of last year. And I had ordered like two or three things off of there. And I'm like, oh, two-day shipping. Yay, I can get stuff, you know, two-day shipping free for whatever podcast review or written review I needed at the time. And then I started looking into their video library. Because that was around October, November was around the time I first started guesting on Talking About My Generation with Doug Abel. And we were going to review Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and I hadn't seen the movie in forever. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to buy the DVD. Oh, wait, I have Amazon Prime. Let's see if it's in the instant. And it was in the instant video thing, so I watched it right there on Amazon. It was great. I mean, it's a great service, like I said, if you have more than five or six things shipped to you every other month. It's a great service for the on-demand video library that they have. You know, and it's a yearly, it's a yearly price. At least it's not $70, $80, or $90 a month. That would kill it. But a yearly price is a good thing. And with them having to possibly look into raising it, it doesn't bother me because you're still getting all kinds of stuff out of it.
I myself, I don't pay for it because I just don't care. I'll wait the extra days most of the time. Now, if it's Christmas time, that's a little bit different. I'm a little impatient. Yeah. That's the only reason I used the free trial was so that I could get the stuff.
Yeah.
I would not have done that any other reason, like any other way. But I get it. I mean, costs are constantly going up for everything.
Yeah.
So I get what they're having to go through.
Yeah.
So let's jump into this one I actually found quite interesting to round out the news. DARPA asked IBM to build a processor that self-destructs. I have no idea why, but I think it's hilarious. They want the hardware that can vaporize itself. I guess the U.S. military uses kinds of stuff, but not that does this.
So they want Skynet, essentially.
Isn't it funny how we just work closer and closer to that?
Yeah, it's kind of scary, too.
It's like, they're going to kill us. All of them. I don't know. I don't understand why they would. I mean, I guess I do, but it's kind of a freaky concept. Yeah, that's great. It's a freaky devices. Concept, you can kill somebody real easy that way. Oh, I don't like you. Here's a brand new cell phone, Jimmy.
It reminds me of, I know this article is saying self-destruct, but again, it reminds me so much of Die Hard 4. Press a button and whoops, there goes the C4. Boom, you're dead. It reminds me of that, and it reminds me of Mission Impossible. This computer will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Our government is weird.
It's freaky is what it is.
It's freaky and it's weird and it just. Yeah.
So, let's get into some listener feedback pertaining to the previous episode. We have a couple that mentioned, for instance, Freddie Savage says that the TMNT stuff looked pretty awesome. It's doing something different, which I don't mind, and has me way more excited for the movie.
Yeah.
You weren't on the last episode, so what were your thoughts on the TMNT?
I've only seen the maquettes. There was not a teaser, right, for Super Bowl?
No, There was just the poster.
I'm not really following the TMNT stuff. I am following it, but I'm not. I saw the Mechettes. Well, the first thing I saw was, which is apparently now the banned Michelangelo Halloween costume, and I was like, oh no. It looks like they took Will Smith and painted his face green.
I'm not touching that.
The TMNT stuff, I'm interested to see what they do. Let's face it, folks, this isn't the 90s anymore. You know, when 1990, when TMNT came, when the first Turtles movie came out, we were all hopped up on the animated series. A lot of people were still into the Mirage comics. And seeing those characters come to life in whichever way you knew them, and seeing that first glimpse of Shredder in that dark room with, you know, the light gleaming off his helmet, I'm really interested to see what they do with Shredder. I'm really interested to see how the Turtles are really going to work with this new kind. I'm not so sold on the voice actors. That's really the only thing. Like, I've seen the list of who's supposed to be voicing each Turtle. I don't think I know a single one of these people. I don't think I've ever heard of them. And I get it, that if they want to, you know, pull a Superman and pull a Dick Donner and go with a bunch of unknowns, fine. I just think if the movie is going to be people in suits and then voice dubbed in or whatever it's going to be, I just think they could have gone with better voice actors. As far as the designs on them, get rid of the friggin' glasses on Donnie. That's just so dumb.
I'm of the same opinion.
As far as the overall aesthetic of how each turtle looks, I like it because I don't know what kind of style they're going for. Shredder looks amazing. I don't know if they're going the Super Shredder route or just a different take on the actual original Shredder look, but I love that. It looks awesome. Again, as I said a few moments ago with the Batman Superman stuff, I just want to see the movie. It's just really all it is. I just want to see what it is at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering what they're going to do at this point in time. It's hard to say. Like, I'm kind of torn. I voiced it last episode. I really hate the lips thing, and I really hate the glasses on Donnie.
Yeah.
I know it's a stereotypical character that I can't get around. I really, really freaking hate the BS stereotypes that Bay is famous for. Yeah. And for some reason, he loves lips. I don't know if it's because he's had too many years on
Transformers.
No, shooting Victoria's Secret stuff, or what? But he's got a thing for his lips. Yeah. I don't get it, but whatever. That's.
I will say my one trepidation about the film is Megan Fox as FUX people, FUX as April O'Neil. She's not a great actress. Megan Fox, again, I'm open to seeing what happens in the movie. I'm not saying I'm not going to go see it. I'm more so probably going to go see this before I really make any decisions on if I'm really going to go see Batman Superman in 2 years. But it's just one of those things where when she was cast as April, I'm like, no. There's a million better actresses that could play April. But other than that, I'm really stoked to see Turtles and see what they do with it. I have to keep rewinding my brain and say, okay, it's Michael Bay's production company, but he's not directing it. And I get it that a production company has a lot of influence, especially with Michael Bay, has a lot of influence. But we got to remember that somebody else, Jonathan something or other, is in the director's chair. So I'm more positive about Turtles than maybe some people are out there. We'll see.
I'm not very positive on it, but it more so hurts me. Like, Transformers has already been ruined for me. Like, so they can only go up.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that Turtles turns out fine. Again, fanboyism coming in there. I'll try and keep an open mind. It's just so hard to do when you have the nostalgia.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I envy about Mike Powers, is he doesn't have nostalgia.
No, he doesn't.
He can just roll with it. And that's, I kind of wish I could do that, but a lot of the time I find myself stuck in this position that I'm like, I don't like it because they did this. And really, there's no good reason for it. I'm just nitpicking. But it's, again.
Yep.
Here's hoping.
Yeah, here's hoping. What else we got for feedback?
I guess we'll go into some of the comments of other things in there. Mostly stuff that has to do with the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah. King of Kong said, I thought the best Super Bowl commercials were kind of meh this year. I like the Radio Shack one with the 80s, want their store back, and the one with the Muppets. Other than that, I can't think of any that really stood out to me. We'll get into our thoughts on them in a little bit.
Yeah.
Brad Kellogg says, does anyone else not like it when they see stars or artists in commercials? I get they need to get paid or whatever, but when I see musicians or actors using their popularity to see some crappy product, it makes me feel sad. And I mean, who buys something because someone famous told you to buy it? Well, I guess everyone does.
It depends on who the actor is, or it really depends on who the star is. And for me, some of the commercials, it isn't even that artists are in commercials. It's if the artist song, like, commercials use all kinds of classic songs nowadays. And it just depends on whether it rubs me the wrong way. And again, it has to be a commercial for me. Like, I'm sorry. Having, I'm trying to think of an example. Having Huey Lewis in the News, Power of Love, in a car commercial isn't going to make me want to go out and spend money I don't have on a car I probably would never drive, since I don't drive. That's just an example. Stars in commercials, it depends on the star. Because while I don't buy or eat Danone's Greek Oikos yogurt, I like seeing John Stamos in some of those commercials, even though they're over the top.
Especially this one, it was kind of under the top, but...
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. But it doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is, and this is just my personal opinion, what bothers me is they will go with someone who can do an on-camera appearance versus someone who does a great voiceover. I'm not angry about this. I'm not pointing any fingers anywhere. But for the longest time, Rob Paulsen was Mr. Opportunity for Honda. And then for a while, what's his name? It's on Seinfeld. Patrick Warburton. For a while, Patrick Warburton was doing on-camera stuff for Honda. And it's like, okay, well, yes, I like Patrick Warburton, but please bring back Mr. Opportunity. So it doesn't really bother me all that much. It just depends on, like, what bothers me is more so the commercials, because it depends on if I want to see the commercial or not.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Andre says, the Super Bowl ad I liked the most was the one with the British actors playing villains. Did anyone see the article on /film about who directed what commercials? Some big name directors do a lot of TV commercials. I didn't really check out any of the, like, directors information. I just kind of watched the commercials. And that one was interesting.
Yeah. It was.
Justin says, great episode. Could not agree more with Steve's thoughts on social media. Too often people use it just to complain about things that really don't matter in the long run. People get bent out of shape about everything nowadays, as you've heard in the beginning of this episode so far.
Sorry, I don't speak up about a lot of this stuff. I might make a snide, and that's what I love about Facebook. Say what you want about Facebook, but Facebook is everywhere now. I can go onto a website and I can share that link of a story, and I can just, you know, write in the comments some snide, funny, quirky remark, post it to my Facebook wall, and be done with it. So, I don't know.
No, I agree. But, yeah, so, there's that. Also, he says, forgot to mention I use Downcast for listening to podcasts as I have an Android phone. I'll have to try that out. I honestly don't use anything on my phone to download podcasts. I usually download through iTunes. And yeah. Then I physically go to the folder, I grab all of the audio files, and then I dump them to my Sony Walkman MP3 player.
Yeah.
To listen to podcasts, because I don't want to drain my battery.
Yeah.
Since it barely works half the time. Anyway.
Yeah, I've had both an iPhone and an Android phone. Because I do all my stuff through iTunes, it's just I prefer the iPhone. I liked having the Android phone at the time. I had the Samsung. Oh, what was it? I can't even remember. Samsung. Not Samsung. I had the HTC Sensation at the time, and I really enjoyed it. But I prefer the iPhone for all my audio stuff since I deal with iTunes on a daily basis. So, I've tried Stitcher. But I always forget that you have to have the app open to listen to the thing. So, and now I don't do smartphones these days. I pay $90 a year, or sometimes generous listeners will donate money for us to have the Skype line still going. But Skype for the phone service and for the phone number is $90 a year. I'd rather pay $90 a year than $90 a month for a cell phone bill.
No, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that about rounds out the listener comments. So we will be right back after this with a look in all things Transformers.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0. Transformers!
Welcome back to Altered Geek Unlimited, and, well, we're going to get into the conversation about Transformers 4's trailer.
Yes.
So what do you think about that one?
I was speechless the whole time I watched. I've rewatched it several times. I'm still speechless. I have no idea what's going on in that trailer. All as I know is Optimus Prime rides Grimlock. That's all I know. And it was really funny because our good friend Protoman X, a.k.a. The GD Protoman, Mr. Transformers lore himself, I remember seeing his reaction after seeing it, and he's like, with all my knowledge that I know about Transformers, I have no idea what just happened in that trailer. It basically found him speechless as well. It's a trailer for a movie, and I like it. It's going to be good. I'm glad Shy is not anywhere near it anymore. I'm glad that they're bringing in new blood. I do still think they could have used Josh Duhamel and Tyrese Gibson again for those characters, because I did like those characters. But the rest of it, it looks like it's mostly going to be giant robots. Sure, there's human stuff in there a little bit, but it doesn't look like there's much from that teaser. And that teaser was the perfect teaser, because again, it didn't give anything away. It didn't tell us the entire plot, and it left us being like, what the hell just happened?
And see, for that reason alone, I have to give Michael Bay kudos.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
I'm actually genuinely enthused for the film because I don't know a damn thing about it. Other than it's got Dinobots and a possible resurrection by our favorite Decepticon.
Galvatron, nice.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that they've seen Megatron's head on set.
Ah, interesting.
So that's definitely not out of the question. So I found it's a breakdown of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of spoilery. They said that, you know, that between the Megatron's head being on set, that could be Galvatron, and then there's this tank looking guy that's in the trailer that shoots. Yeah. And to begin with, I thought I saw Megatron's face in it. But it's probably more than likely, and they've kind of leaked a little bit of information on it, it could be Lockdown.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. I mean, I like the transformation. I like the look of the robot, so I could care less the name. I mean, it looked awesome. They have a the Freightliner robot. They're claiming that possibilities for robots in this could be Galvatron, Motormaster, and even Cyclonus, which would be interesting. A lot of the robots in this look just spectacular. They've shown Cybertronian spaceships.
Yep.
So they could have unlocked and brought more big baddies. Unicron could play into the equation.
Yeah.
They have a scene where Optimus is captured.
Yeah,
by Lockdown.
Optimus is captured. Yeah.
So that's interesting as well. They got a guy called Crosshairs that's almost like a redesign of like Bumblebee / Ratchet.
Yeah, because he's all green. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he's based off a Corvette. Stingray. Yeah. The new Corvette, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We sell that.
Hey, look, it's Air Razor.
Yeah. It does look that way. The aerial beast bot. That's I like that. That, I mean, it could be Swoop too, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would make more sense. Yeah, I don't know, when it says beast, I think Beast Wars. I'll have to look and see if I can find it on Facebook. But after the trailer came out, somebody posted an image of the G1 characters with Optimus riding Grimlock, and it was so awesome.
I saw that. I saved my phone. It's like they show Optimus riding Grimlock.
Yeah.
In Tyranno mode. They added horns to Grimlock's head, which, whatever.
It's Maleficent.
It's that version of Grimlock looked awesome.
Yeah.
I have no beef whatsoever about him bringing the Dinobots in. And I knew he wanted to do it originally.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. I also note that they have a scene with, like, Chinese influence, which everybody knew they were shooting in China somewhere. Like Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. It's that that was a part of the fun, oh, let's track everything that's going on for 5 days. And but
yeah, I'm looking, I went back to Proto Man's feed on Twitter to Super Bowl Sunday. He says, people complaining how Captain America and Spider-Man got 4 minute trailers and TF4 only got 30 seconds. And then his next tweet is in all caps. Do you want them to use up all the robot footage? 4 minutes is a brutal on bay movie. I we knew that the Super Bowl ad for TF4 was going to be a teaser trailer. Teasers are 30 to 50 seconds. They're not 2 minute trailers. How many teasers have we already had the end of last year, beginning of this year for Captain America and Spidey, because they're coming out sooner than Transformers, have already had their teaser trailers. So of course they're going to get full on ad trailers for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But the Transformers stuff, like, I know you're not that big on Dark of the Moon. Dark of the Moon is my favorite out of the trilogy because I actually saw Transformers lore in it, and I saw G1 elements in it, and all that kind of good stuff. So I like Dark of the Moon. I mean, I'm really, really interested to see where Age of Extinction takes us and the Dinobots and all that. I don't really have any negative things to say at this point yet about it, because I'm really, really stoked for it at this point.
I'm super excited for it. I really am. So I think with that, we'll take another quick break and we'll come back with our topic of the night, which is the Super Bowl trailers and our thoughts on them and which ones we liked, and then we'll close it out. So we'll be back after this.
Hey, Mr. Smith, want to try out my time machine? It runs on Doritos.
Sure. So now what?
Gotta put the whole bag in.
Okay.
Yes.
It's really working, Jimmy! This is the greatest moment of my life!
Get out of my yard!
Jimmy?
It's the future!
For boring, we ain't got no room!
Are you doing all right there, fella?
They were singing vegetables and chickens!
Yeah, happens to me all the time.
The all-new Highlander. Toyota.
Let's go places!
Take off your pants, Greek boy.
Huh? You heard the man.
Take those pants off. That's gonna stain.
Danone Oikos Greek yogurt. Fuel your pleasure.
No, please. Don't leave me alone with them.
She wasn't good for us anyway.
Radio Shack? Okay.
What?
The 80s called. They want their store back.
Everyone's watching to see what you do. Everyone's looking at you. Oh. Everybody's working on.
It's time for a new Radio Shack. Yay! Come see what's possible when we do things together.
You're too late.
You want a piece of my heart? And welcome back to Altered Geek. Well, let's get into the Super Bowl trailers. Mike and I both have sat down and watched them, or most of them. So what ones off the top kind of strike you as interesting?
Are we talking about commercials or trailers?
I guess you can bring up the trailers because I didn't really care to watch any of them other than Transformers. And then we can transition to the actual commercials. I keep saying trailers whenever I talk about Super Bowl, even though there's commercials.
Yes.
So
I watched the Transformers trailer, which we've already talked about. I watched the Captain America and the Spider-Man 2 trailer, or Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer. Captain America, Winter Soldier, I might have to go back and read the book so I can kind of know what the hell's going on. I know it takes place after the events of the Avengers and all that stuff, so it's kind of like they're setting up, and I love how Marvel does this. Any film that has the core Avengers characters, Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Thor, even though I didn't care for Thor, The Dark World, they're setting it up after Avengers and showing you what these characters have done on their own post the battle for New York. Captain America, Winter Soldier, I'm super stoked to see it because I never liked Cap before Chris Evans kind of reinvented him for me with the 2011 film and Avengers and now the sequel. I'm really interested to see, but at the same time, after seeing the trailer, I still have no idea what's really... Because I thought the Winter Soldier was supposed to... I thought Bucky was supposed to come back or something. That's just what I thought. Listeners, don't berate me in the comments because I don't know. Because I haven't read a lot of Cap comics ever. So I'm really, really stoked and interested to see what happens in that. With Amazing Spider-Man 2, they're building upon what they already kind of built upon in the first film and kind of teased a whole bunch of stuff. I still prefer, at this point, Andrew Garfield over Tobey Maguire. He's got a better flair for the character than Tobey ever had. Toby had the geeky kind of side, and Andrew, at this point, he's got the flair of Spidey with the black suit without having to have him in the symbiote. So I'm really, really interested to see it. I think they did a Need for Speed spot, but I don't remember. And it's Need for Speed. The only reason why I'm even interested in seeing it because it's based on the game franchise and because it's Aaron Paul outside of Breaking Bad. He's a really good actor. I just don't care about Breaking Bad. But those are the ones that I had watched. But the commercials, I guess we'll start out with this. First of all, thanks to that friggin' Bronco, my team isn't in it this year, or wasn't in it this year. The Patriots did not make it to the Super Bowl because of friggin' Manning. So if my team's not in it, I wasn't going to watch the game. And Super Bowl commercials to me the last couple of years haven't been as awesome as they were 10, 11, 12 years ago. I don't know what it is, but some of them, now that I've gone back and seen them online, some of them are pretty cool. But I had zero interest in watching the event of the Super Bowl this year. And I think it was the whole thing of, oh, are we going to move it a day ahead? Or are we going to move it to Saturday? Or are we going to move it to Monday? I'm sorry, do not move they've already moved the Super Bowl enough, putting it back way back into February. Well, not way back into February, but Super Bowl, when I was a kid growing up, was usually the third week of January. And over the last few years, it's been the first or second Sunday of February. That's, to me, that's way too far. It just is. But the commercials, I like the Radio Shack one. I do have to agree with... who said that they liked it? Which one of the listeners? I'm sorry. I'm not on this show all the time, so I don't know everybody that comments on the damn thing. Who was it?
It was King of Kong.
Yeah, yeah. King of Kongs. I agree with you that the Radio Shack one was the best one. I really enjoyed that. That was funny. Some of the other ones, Some of the other ones are just cringeworthy to me. They really are. Let me see here. Bud Light, Ian is up for anything. That was just... Butterfinger, cup therapy. Oh, my God. That's just so wrong. It really is so, so wrong. I've seen a lot of CarMax commercials in my day, but the slow clap has to be the most of WTF moment for a commercial I've ever had. I don't get it.
I didn't get it either. I found it extremely boring.
Yeah.
It was stupid. Like, I...
Let's see. So we've also got the Danon's Oikos yogurt, and at first I was like, I said to Steve off air, I'm like, I've already seen this commercial with Jesse from Fallout. So he's like, did you watch the rest? I'm like, no. He's like, watch the rest. I'm like, oh, okay. So I watched it, and the other two, Danny Tanner and Joey Gladstone, show up, and thought that was really great.
I especially love that they started kind of taking the commercial dark and, like, dirty. Because my wife is like, no. Yeah. She's like, they're not going to do that. And I says, oh, they're trying. I says, but wait, there's more. And then, like, all of a sudden they show up. Because she thought, I don't want to watch this. This looks dirty. And then they went and did what they did. And then she was like, that's actually funny.
The two Coke ads I didn't care for. One is It's Beautiful, and the other one is Going All the Way. The Going All the Way one, it's basically Forrest Gump without the leg problem. That's all it is. Comedians in cars getting coffee. It's Seinfeld people. It's Jerry and George. So that's always interesting. The Doritos Time Machine would have been better if the old guy was Doc Brown.
That was actually a pretty funny commercial. You have the kid sitting there shaking it, going, and then the guy's like, Jimmy, you got so old.
Some of these commercials I just don't get. GoDaddy had a bodybuilder commercial.
Well, they also had the chick building the Muppets.
The Puppet Master.
Which I was like, I could take it or leave it.
Honda, if you're happy. That was the Bruce Willis one. That was kind of cool. And the rest of them, I don't know. They just didn't really inspire me at all. And again, I'm not really into this. I wasn't really into the Super Bowl this year. I don't know. What about you? I will say that the Pepsi halftime one was kind of cool, using all of New York as a DJ booth. I thought that was kind of cool. What about you on some of these?
Well, I like the one with, of course, I like the one with the Full House characters. That was interesting. The Arnold one, the Bud Light, was just stupid.
Yeah, it was.
Like, he's wearing the wig thing and, you know, and going around, and it's just, I found it stupid. But that's besides the point. All the Bud Light, or, you know, the Butterfinger or Budweiser, those were always stupid. CarMax was the dumbest commercial. Oh, let's clap. The Chevy one. I believe in miracles. That was just, I was like, really?
And again, it goes back to Brad Kellogg's comment about artists or stars in commercials. For me, it's music. I'm sorry if they use like the most obvious music. It's like, really? You chose that song for your commercial?
You have like the Chobani yogurt, and you have the bear that ransacks the store.
Yeah,
that was kind of funny, only for the fact that this bear just destroys the whole place and then leaves the yogurt.
Yeah.
The Matrix one with Morpheus. I don't know if you watched that.
Which one was that?
The one
that
where he's sitting in the car, he's like, will you take the red key or the blue key?
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
And then he starts singing, like, and he teleports in the back of their car. That was actually kind of funny. That kind of reminded me of the Ferris Bueller one last year. Of course, the Doritos Time Machine one was great. The Cowboy Kid, which Doritos did as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just two brothers racing to the car to get a bag of Doritos, and the one brother hogties the other one. so that was actually kind of funny. The Bruce Willis Honda one was interesting. Kind of boring, but interesting. The Jaguar one with the villains.
Yeah.
I totally got it, and I thought it was cool, but it wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
Or the other ones. You know, you have the Pepsi's halftime one was interesting.
Yeah.
How it animated everything. I think for me, the Radio Shack one is probably the best.
Yeah.
I just love how they you know, because most of the stores do have that old look and feel to them.
And they really do. Most Radio Shacks that I've gone into in the last 10 to 12 years, they still look like they're stuck in the 80s with all the remote control cars and the TVs. And it just, yeah, they needed a facelift.
Yeah, badly. Yes. But bringing in the 80s nods was just pure genius.
Cliff Clavin, people. Cliff Clavin and Hulk Hogan in the same commercial. That's just awesome.
Yeah, the SodaStream one with Scarlett Johansson where she's trying to be sexy with pop, which was stupid. But they couldn't play it on TV because the one version of it, because at the end she says, sorry, Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's, I understand it. It's dumb.
You know, the funny thing is about SodaStream is they actually have contracts with Coke and Pepsi, because I've seen Diet Coke, like it's Coca-Cola, it's the Diet Coke flavor. I've seen that in stores where it's for SodaStream, but it's you make your own Diet Coke without having to buy cans or whatever else. And at this point for me, I go through a lot of, so I go through probably 2 24 packs a month, so that's 48 cans a month. It's just easier spending $10 on 2 24 packs for me than it is to buy a whole other machine and then having to buy mixes to mix it in like friggin' Kool-Aid.
I go through more pop than you, but
yeah. The sad thing is I'm overweight and you're a skinny little bitch.
That's alright, call me that. I don't know. I have a extreme metabolism.
Yeah.
My whole family hates me. As well as my coworkers and my friends and everybody else. They're like, you skinny bastard.
I used to have a good metabolism. Not anymore, apparently.
Apparently in my family, it dies when they hit their 40s. So I have another 10 years to look forward to. So yeah, there's that.
The Toyota one was awesome.
The what one?
Toyota. Is Muppets.
The Muppets. That was just pure genius. And then Terry Crews, he's like, I was talking to singing vegetables. And then Kermit's like, yeah, that happens to me all the time. Except he was like, yeah, that happens to me all the time. And he kept watering his lawn. It was just hilarious. My wife thought that was pretty good too. Did you watch the Volkswagen one?
No.
That one's actually funny. It's the Volkswagen, the one that says they're playing a spin on It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
This little kid asked the dad, or the dad tells this kid, you know, something about, you know, every time a vehicle is sold or whatever, or goes over 100,000 miles, an engineer at Volkswagen gets their wings. And so, like, you start seeing odometers click over to 100 and all these engineers start getting wings just popping out of their back. Some of them bigger than others, some of them smaller than others. And it was kind of funny how that played out. And then the kid asks, so what happens when they hit 200,000 miles? And then they said, well, they have rainbows come out of their ass, you know? And,
oh, God.
And then you see one guy at the end of the commercial and he starts glowing in rainbow colors.
Wow.
I was like, that's hilarious. It's, I mean, granted, most of the commercials really kind of blew this year, but
yeah,
to me, I think the top ones were Radio Shack, the Muppets, the Full House, and then this Volkswagen Wings.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I enjoyed those so much that I was laughing during them. Oh, and the Time Machine.
Yeah.
That was pretty good too. But
yeah. I have to agree with that. Those are the good ones. But again, it's like, and it's not even really that my team wasn't in it. Because we used to watch Super Bowl every year for the longest time, whether the Patriots were in it or not. Because it was the whole event of, oh, hey, we're going to have a Super Bowl party and, you know, we're going to all get together and have fun and whatever else. And God. But nowadays it's just like, unless Patriots are in it, I don't care.
Yeah. I guess so.
And it goes back to what you were saying last week, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier in this episode. Why should I watch the Super Bowl when I can just wait 2 hours or less than 2 hours and the damn commercials will be online? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the marketing of it. I guess it would be interesting to find out why they do that. Release the trailers or the commercials and the trailers before the Super Bowl. I mean, the trailers more so stick to that schedule of playing during the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But they during the Super Bowl, they come out.
Yeah.
But the commercials, they come out like a week ahead of time, which to me, I don't watch the Super Bowl. No. I wouldn't watch it regardless. I would just wait until a couple days after, and then I'd look them up on YouTube. But the fact that all of them were compiled a week beforehand, and everyone was able to watch them, it makes me wonder how those advertising dollars are actually getting spent or worth their money for being played on the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Because not a lot of people were enthused with the Super Bowl or shut it off at half point.
That's the other thing about the Super Bowl. I'm sorry to cut you off, but that's the other thing. The halftime show has not been good since Nipplegate.
Yeah, I was going to refer to that, but you beat me to the punch. Or you beat me to the slip, whichever.
There's nothing about the Super Bowl that I care about anymore. Like I said, unless my team's in it. I don't know. It just... The tradition is worn off on, I guess, for me. It really has.
I think that it's all kind of overrated at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, I think that about wraps up this episode. Unless you have any other thoughts.
I don't think so. I would just say to everybody that's listening, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, go tell your friends, your family members, everybody, go tell strangers about us, just anybody. You know, we are heavy in the planning of year 5 and celebrating 5 years online. Shows that people might be interested in that have returned. Tales of Eternia, which is our He-Man Filmation review show, is back. Beyond the Night, which is our Knight Rider show, is back. Pixels in the Animation, which is our other video game show, which is Neil and I, TV's Mr. Neil and I, reviewing video game cartoons. That is now back in full swing. We are talking about the Captain N era on that. Maybe we have some longtime fans that might have liked Tooncast Classic and liked Tooncast Beyond. There are behind-the-scenes goings-on of maybe finally getting to the Gargoyles episode, and there's also going to be a spotlight this summer, and there's going to be something this winter for Tooncast Beyond as well. What else is going on? The Pull Bag. Go listen to The Pull Bag, the comic show. Yeah, just keep paying attention to us, people.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
No.
Ever.
No.
We'll stalk you in your sleep.
I will also say, while, you know, Steve and I have our opinions here on AGU, and it's really Steve and Mike Powers' show here. I'm like Steve said in the beginning, I'm just filling in for now. I would say that if you want other opinions, other geeky opinions from the network that aren't our opinions on other topics that we probably would never even broach, go check out Talking in Circles, the brand new show with Dan Clark and his crew, Chuck and Greg. I've heard that, I've been reading in the comments and stuff on the site that people are really liking it, so.
Which is cool.
Cool new addition, yeah.
I don't have any beef against them.
Where's the beef?
I knew that was coming. Of course, I did that at work the other day, and then people were giving, or no, I did it in class. Because we have, not to go too far off topic, yes. We have to do a stupid project on, like, there are four groups. There's one that's doing, like, Harley Davidson, and there's one that's doing Apple computers, which I was sad I didn't get to have as my group, but only for the fact that it's Apple computers. Then there was Southwest yep. Airlines and Dunkin' Donuts. Guess which group I'm in?
Dunkin' Donuts?
Ding, ding, ding.
I could so help you with that, considering I'm from Massachusetts, and that's all we have up there is Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, what we got here is a bunch of donuts. But yeah, so we have to do a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh my god.
On the company, so... like on all this information on it. And I'm not really all that enthused with having to do it.
Are you the speaker?
Fortunately, no.
Damn. No, that would be awesome.
Well, everybody has to speak at right. some point during the presentation.
I was going to say, if you were the main speaker, that would be so awesome because we could... Oh, God, we so have to do that. Okay, yeah, I'm going to wait on this because it has to do with the donut guy in Beast Wars Megatron. And I will tell it to you off air. We so have to put this together.
Sounds good.
Oh, man, that's all I got.
Alrighty. So yeah, that's what I got to look forward to. I'm not happy about it in the slightest, but you know, whatever. So yeah, we got to do that. I've gathered so much information for it anyway, but. The where's the beef thing came up during that because there was, and, you know, are the donuts ready? You know, and I don't know. It's just, I was like, I don't really want to do this. This sucks. I don't like the class. Like, it's a class that has to be taken. So yeah. It's irritating to me.
I'm telling you, after you hear my idea, you're going to like it even more. You will enjoy having to make the donuts. I'm telling you, you will.
Are the donuts ready? Do they have pieces of rubber ducky inside?
No, and don't you dare make a panty joke. We better end this before people rag on us for going off topic.
So, thank you for listening to this travesty of an episode of Altered Geek Unlimited. There are many ways to get a hold of us. The first is you can call the voicemail line at 502-526-5821. You can email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the freaking episode post at geekcastradio.com. You can visit the Facebook fan page by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, hashtag Altered Geek. My Twitter handle is at SCP21, and yours is?
DFT1 Mike.
In case people are wondering why I said freaking, I didn't change the script. It still says forum, which we don't use. So I said, visit the freaking episode post instead of visit the forums. And yeah, so anyways, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Hey, Darcy, look. 100,000 miles.
So?
It's a big deal. What if I told you that every time a Volkswagen hits 100,000 miles, a German engineer gets his wings?
Doobie doobie doo. Doobie doobie doo. Doobie doobie doo. Doobie doobie doo.
I hate these wingy thingies.
Yeah, Dad, and I'm sure at 200,000 miles, rainbow shit out of their butts.
Volkswagen has the most vehicles on the road with over 100,000 miles. That's the power of German engineering.